One of my friends just quit her job and she'd had a god-awful story about her boss that was essentially blackmailing her for sexual favours in the workplace. And she was like, right, I'm out. And I found I've had that in a couple of barbershops I've worked in. I haven't had anyone blackmail me like that, but I have had people, you know, be inappropriate and things. But I try not to let it distract me from the good places I've worked in.
You know, I was quite surprised that your store's 10 years old.
Yeah, nearly. Yeah, it's like 8.5 years now.
Those early seeds and those kind of thoughts that you had right at the beginning, obviously, yeah, those give you the grassroots and you're now reaping the benefits.
Do you know me and my boyfriend were having this conversation yesterday and he was like, you always want more, he said to me. And I was like, oh yeah, don't we all want more? Like, and he goes, no, but I mean, like, you never stop. And I'm like, well, I'm a business owner, number one. You can't stop. No. You don't get days off and you don't get loads of holidays, much to everyone's dismay that begins a business and they think that that's what's going to happen. You learn to enjoy not having the time off because you want to make your business better. If you're going to go and open your own business, doesn't matter if it's a barbershop, whatever, you definitely take any information that you've been given, whether it's good or bad, and you can choose to take that with you and learn from it, or you can choose to say, I'm leaving that behind. I did not like that. That's not what I want to implement in my business. I recently did put a three-part video out about misogyny in the workplace, and I had so many women, especially, and guys. I had loads of guys message me about it and just sort of commend and say, you know, fair play for saying something. And I'm not saying specifically it's just men being misogynistic to women. It's women can be discriminatory as well towards men and all genders. It affects everybody.
Welcome to The Noble Barber. This is a podcast for barbers by barbers, cutting through the crap of the industry. We all want to know how our businesses can run better. I want to talk to people who've done it, messed it up and got it right second time round, and can tell us the way that you and I can make our businesses better. Welcome to another episode of The Noble Barber. I'm here with Nat Cresswell. Hiya.
Hi.
And I've been chasing you down for a bit and really pleased you've made it up. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Representing a bit of Southampton.
Someone's got it, haven't they?
I'm sorry to say, only the third woman that we've had on the out of our set of barber podcast. So thank you very much for
you're most welcome.
And your name came up a lot when I met Sean from The Modern Barber.
Yeah, we love Sean.
And and you've had a really good relationship with The Modern Barber over the years.
I've been close with them since I opened my shop, really. We've been open nearly 9 years. We've got 4 Modern Barber Awards and 2 front covers down. So
is that a little shrine in the store, or do you leave them on the loo? Whereabouts?
We've actually recently we had a little bit of a shop refit, and we've got a few shelves with all our own products, and on the top is just our nice few awards up
good,
there.
Cool. So, I like that.
It's sort of they're on show, but not too showy.
It's a great award, but it's also kind of quite a pretty award as well.
Oh, they're beautiful. Yeah,
because yeah, I've heard. I've just seen other people's with envy.
Well, they got like the mirror bit on them, so they pick up the light, and they do look really nice. Yeah,
cool. And was competition something you were into before you had the shop, or did that kind of come hand in hand with you launching the shop? What instigates that kind of urge for entering competitions?
When did we do the first one? God, let me think. I did Best All-Round Barber, and that was the first time I'd entered a competition. Okay. So I don't know how I managed it, but well I managed done. To win the big one.
And that was 2020?
That was 2020, and that was back during COVID. So it was done online and everything. It was a bit of an odd one. It was cool. My guys on the team did like a little, it was done on Facebook Live, and all my guys had surprised me in the shop, and we did a winner's unveiling kind of thing. We watched it in the shop and they put on some food. It was really quite sweet. So we had like our own little award ceremony. But I one of the guys on the team just said, oh, you should enter it. I'm going to enter it. And I've done this with, this is a bit silly, but, and Sean might hate me for this, but I've entered literally like at the 11th hour every single time. And now I do that on all of mine because it seems to be.
That's like your lucky socks.
It seems to be, yeah. I think if I, some of them I've typed up and then you can save it and go back to it, which I've done sometimes. But a lot of the time I kind of just get everything out of my brain in one foul swoop and get it down. And yeah, and we've managed to win four now. So wow, that was pretty cool. We've done best team 2 years in a row, one of which being last year. And then I got best business leader last year as well. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Good set.
Yeah,
yeah, really good.
I've entered
set.
Best business leader again this year. If I don't get it this year, it's no biggie, obviously. But I think once you've won, you feel like you're on a roll and you want to keep entering. Definitely. But I think people are going to come for me here, but I think especially for a woman in this industry, we can get overlooked quite a lot. So I feel like, I mean, I'm nowhere near as well known as the Hayden Cassidys of the barbering world. Big up to Hayden. She's amazing. But I think, you know, it's important to just keep putting yourself out there and keep going for these things. Not assuming that you're going to win, but just also supporting the magazine and supporting such an amazing thing for our industry, you know?
I mean, as an award, it's brilliant for the industry.
Yeah.
Have you found this year's entry harder than last year's when you were just entering last year, whereas this time you're like, will we win again? Is it a harder application?
I judge them as well. So I don't judge my own, just putting that out there. I don't judge my own. And I never judge any categories that my team might be in. But they have changed it slightly this year on the scoring system in a judge's point of view. But from what I can tell, the application's pretty similar. And it's depends what you do. So business leader and best team are completely different. Whereas like best team, it's all quite written and then a couple of pictures to support your entry. Whereas like business leader, you have to give up quite a lot of business information, which is quite vulnerable. Because I only have my one shop. And, you know, there's people entering that have got loads across the UK or across the globe. And you think, well, you know, am I going to win against someone that's this big? But, you know, I've been up against some amazing brands and barbers. And I think Modern Barber Awards is a testament to how unbiased it is. It's just very much based on the entry, how much effort you put into it. And I think as a judge as well, you can see how many people really do want the award because they put so much effort in. And there's some people that don't really put a lot in and you think, well, you're not going to really get anywhere. I mean, I can't say because I'm only one judge.
That cutting and pasting you can get away with.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But I mean, if you want it, just keep going for it.
But so now you say winning, I mean, great awards, but winning the business leader, as you say, from a woman's point of view, in what's a fairly male-dominated industry, do you think you're running your business very differently to how you've worked for guys? Presumably, you've worked for a male employer.
a few, yeah.
Now, and I, you know, and over the years, I've worked with a variety of people, and some of the things that they did that I like, I've kept, and that's how I run my business. But quite a lot is how I didn't like they ran things and how I didn't like how they treated me, that I try not to bring those things along.
I think, like you say, there's learning and you bring that with you. If you're going to go and open your own business, doesn't matter if it's a barbershop, whatever, you definitely take any information that you've been given, whether it's good or bad, you know, you've been taught a certain way and you can choose to take that with you and learn from it, or you can choose to say, I'm leaving that behind. I did not like that. That's not what I want to implement in my business. And I recently did put a three-part video out about misogyny in the workplace. And I had so many women, especially, and guys, I had loads of guys message me about it and just sort of commend and say, you know, fair play for saying something. And I'm not saying specifically it's just men being misogynistic to women. It's women can be discriminatory as well towards men and all genders. It affects everybody. But I was just speaking on my position and what I had been going through over the years of being a barber. And I've been a barber nearly 20 years, and I've worked in so many different ones because I've never been able to find my place in the barbering scene. And
from what some of your experiences, I'm not surprised.
I could go on. Honestly, that's just a tiny fraction of what I've been through. I've taken that, and I've now know, obviously I wouldn't ever discriminate anyone in my own shop, but it does shape you. And it not only do you think, well, I'm not bringing that to my business and to my team. I want to nourish and support and encourage my team. I want them to be the best they can be, because, you know, ultimately that brings an effect on you and your business, because you want to be the best and the biggest. But at the end of the day, I want them to be happy as well. And, you know, if they decided that they weren't happy for something that I personally did, that would devastate me. It's amazing how many people I have worked for that don't care. They're just, I want you to do this. This is how I am. This is the business. And if you don't like it, F off. And it's sad, I think. That's really sad.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of hope that kind of dinosaur's died off, but sadly, it's still hanging on in there.
Yeah, it is. It's quite rife. You know,
obviously, when you said you could make it and you were coming along today, I spoke to several people about your free partner. And so many were kind of quite taken aback that would go on. And certainly, I mean, I employ, so, you know, not that that's the only motivation behind it, but, you know, I hadn't really thought it through that it's about your rights. And obviously, as an employer, as an employed staff member, you have
loads of rights.
You've got rights, and you know, and that's not the reason. I hope that's not the reason I behave myself. But the way I behave, I'm aware of.
Yeah.
And if I didn't, and if I acted in the way you had, then you know that's definitely laid out as to this is what you do to stop me doing as an employer.
I think,
self-employed, I hadn't clocked that you don't have that protection.
As you say, like, awareness is key, and it doesn't matter if you own a barbershop, if you're on a team, you know, what gender you are. It's just about having respect in the workplace and respecting other people that you're around, and including your clients. It's watching what you say around other people. And I think, you know, we could all do with brushing up on that. And I think when you're self-employed, obviously you lack, from my opinion and my experience, a lot of self-employed people forget where they are. And they can forget that misogyny or that homophobia or even that racism on the shop floor in front of paying clients and staff that you're supposed to, that are trying to bring you in money to your business. It's like, well, you know, you've got to be careful what you say. If they're your views, absolutely fine. Just keep it locked away.
Yeah.
Obviously, you shouldn't have them views, but you've got to be so careful about what you say, especially these days where everything is being challenged. You know, we're in a time at the moment where everyone is saying, that's not right. That's not quite right. Mm. You need to stop that. Do you know what I mean?
And I guess, you know, we're also at that, which, you know, I completely get it. Yeah, we're also at this period of things like GB News,
where
I feel like I've been in a coma and I've woken up back in the 70s.
Yeah,
because I can't believe that these and even our politicians. You listen to the rhetoric that we're coming out with now, and it's horrific. I mean, I'm a child of the 80s, well, a teenager of the 80s, and we felt we were breaking that down in the 80s. You know.
Yeah. I think
I had more mascara
on
than my sister in the 80s. I know it's not pretty sight now, but it was all right.
Picture here.
But, you know, it was very, you know, in our minds in the 80s, it was very much about kind of gender fluid. And, you know, we always thought it was hilarious that Boy George was, is it a woman, was across the front headline. I can't believe that 40 odd years later, we're still having that conversation that these appalling characters turn up on mainstream TV, or I see more Piers Morgan's now got he's been moved to YouTube, and they're just still spouting this 40 years out of date.
I think we're either one or the other. There is such a spectrum of the outspoken Piers Morgan's, shall you say, and then there are the people, sorry, fighting against it.
Yeah.
But I also wonder if it is becoming so much further that way because there is so much of either side yeah. fighting. It's just getting bigger and bigger. And at the end of the day, like we were saying earlier, I just want to implement love.
Mm.
Pure love, bit of TLC. We're only here for a short time. Mm. I just want everyone to get along yeah. and enjoy their job, enjoy their clients. And I want the clients to come in and feel welcomed in a nice, positive energy, a good, tranquil environment and just go to work, go home, get along with everyone and just go home.
I mean, we have that kind of mantra with our stores that it's very much part of a club that you're coming in and it's a really safe, happy place for you.
Yeah.
And it's meant to be somewhere that you feel... You know, I always came into the industry and the first phrase that was always said was every client you're meeting for the first time is much more nervous than you. They're yeah. very intimidated. They're then sitting in front of a mirror. You're cutting their hair. You're really intimate with them.
Yeah.
And you could ruin the next month or so of their life.
Yeah, you're in their personal space, aren't you?
So really is. It's important. And then they're going to leave with whatever you have done to them.
Yes, it's like two very vulnerable things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, in my head and how it was said to me at the time, it was very much about the haircut. They're going to leave with that haircut and whether they like it or not.
Yeah.
I think actually it's much deeper than that.
Yeah.
It is much more about how the impression that you leave on them.
Yeah, it's what's that saying? It's something like people will always remember how you make them feel, not what you say.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge believer in that. And I like to think that if anyone comes to Cresswell Barber Company, my lovely shop in Shirley, I mean, we only have the one shop, but I have such an amazing team that really know how to pick up on people's energy, read how they're feeling. Mm. And everyone's just so friendly and gets along and just, I'm so lucky. It's taken me 8 years to get this team together. So yeah. they know that they're precious to me. You know, it's like, it's hard to get barbers, but yeah. I feel incredibly lucky to have not just a full team for my chairs, but I also have a team that I can trust around my clients with their well-being. And that's priceless to me.
But, you know, there's that whole kind of phrase, isn't it, that you know the harder you work the luckier you get.
So
you know, you've obviously, you know, I was quite surprised that your store's 10 years old.
Yeah, nearly. Yeah, it's like eight and a half years now.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's gone by so,
you know,
quick.
Those early seeds and those kind of thoughts that you had right at the beginning, obviously, yeah, those give you the the grassroots and you're now reaping the benefits from that.
Yeah,
you hope.
I am always one of these that like, do you know me and my boyfriend, right? And you're having this conversation yesterday and he was like, you always want more. He said to me, I was like, well, yeah, don't we all want more? Like, and he goes, no, but I mean like you never stop. And I'm like, well, I'm a business owner. Number one, you can't stop. No. You don't get days off and you don't get loads of holidays, much to everyone's dismay that begins a business and they think that that's what's going to happen. But you learn to enjoy not having the time off because you want to make your business better. And, you know, and I think that comes down to your question earlier about entering competitions. And I'm obviously a huge advocate for Modern Barber magazine. And I love the guys there. They've really supported me and my team. So I'll always enter the Modern Barber Awards. But this year, I definitely want to get my teeth into a bit more cutting competitions. I've never done a cutting. Well, I've done one or two. I did Mike Taylor's beard competition a few years back because I love beards.
Okay.
I'm a beard barber.
Oh, well
I
done.
Love cutting beards. I don't know what it is.
Well, that's why we call barbers, isn't it?
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Barbers, Latin for
shave,
for beard,
it? Yeah, or something.
I think,
yeah,
something like that. I'm sure I read that somewhere or someone told me that. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, that'd be
exciting. I'll do.
So you're finding a new pond to feel uncomfortable in for a while.
I think so. I mean, like you say, my videos. I've been toying with making my own videos recently. They're not the best. I just sat at home and just started talking. And my videos recently about misogyny in the workplace just came to me because one of my friends just quit her job and she'd had the most god-awful story about her boss that was essentially blackmailing her for sexual favours in the workplace. And she was just immediately, she was like, right, I'm out. And she, and what was really sad is she'd been going for that job for so many years. She looked at that place and went, I want to work there. And then when you get behind the curtain, you know, it gets ruined, doesn't it? Yeah. And I found I've had that in a couple of barbershops I've worked in. I haven't had anyone blackmail me like that, but I have had people, you know, be inappropriate and things. But I try not to let it, distract me from the good places I've worked in. Like, yeah. I worked in one shop in Salisbury a few years ago. I'll say a few, probably about 10, 12 years ago now. And the guy that owned it is passed away now, bless him, but he was the most wonderful man to work for. He was so sweet, like birthday presents on your birthday. And when I took the job back then, there was barbers everywhere. There was no shops hiring barbers. There was loads of barbers. Now it's the opposite way. And he said, you were one of 25 that we'd interviewed and we want to give you the job. And I've never forgotten that because you've got to remember those good things. Because when the shit things happen, it's easy to hold on to that and knock your confidence down, things like that. But no, I hold on to that little thing.
No, I think that's exactly it. There are some really, really amazing people out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, having started doing this and started my new company 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was very much of the mind of getting out and talking to as many. I'd previously had I'm inside my little building and that was it. And I've made sure I'm more connected with the industry.
Yeah.
And the more I've met, the more really fantastic people I meet. I can't believe
we're so lucky. This industry really is an industry. So beautiful.
And I chat to mates of mine who are in the building industry or work for the National Health Service and so on. And all are genuinely jealous of the stories that I end up telling. I tell my good stories, obviously. You know, because I don't spend a lot of time. And I mean, I've met enough arseholes and I've worked with enough arseholes. I've got no urge to work with them anymore. So I distance myself really quickly. And I've got no interest. But the fabulous people just kind of, you know, pour into your life when you try it.
It's interesting you say about that because this is another kind of reason why I started my videos because I don't want all my videos to start out being negative. I don't want to be that Karen, you know.
Sure.
But I do think that we are, as a planet, not just an industry, but we are craving a bit more humble reality. And we see everyone on Instagram, especially in TikTok, where people are not being authentic. And they're only posting the good stuff. Like you say, you just naturally want to tell your best stories. You do. Yeah. And we do. We want to post the best parts of our life. But it does have the ability to make other people feel inadequate. Mm. And I thought, well, if I can post some horrific things about what's happened in my life and my industry, it might make people feel better. Because, you know, Sean, bless her, she said that there was a couple of new up-and-coming barbers that really recently had mentioned my name and really liked my work. And I was like, oh, that's really nice.
That's when you feel like you're getting somewhere.
Yeah. I almost feel a bit like, well, I probably shouldn't say that, but I don't want it to sound egotistical.
No, it's nice.
But
it's
she, really you know, I just see myself as a barber from Shirley in this tiny little place in Southampton. I'm not anyone well known, but to know that there is people out there that have got their eye on you. And I think I've been in this industry 20 years. What can I say to someone who's 20 years behind me, just starting out as a young woman in this industry? What can I do to benefit them and help them? And I've got a few tricks up my sleeve. I've got more videos to come. But I don't know. I wish I had someone to guide me in that direction because back then I didn't know about the industry. Mm. I didn't have guidance. I come from a barber shop in Eastleigh with a bunch of girls where they were fantastic barbers. God, it was bitchy. God, it was awful. And I was in and out of there for about 5 years, all in all. And it's a really bittersweet thing because if they're watching, I'm sure they'll agree. It was a hormonal mess.
Right.
A bunch of, I think it was like seven of us women at one point.
Yeah.
But we were all cutting amazing hair and they taught me some tricks I still use today. And I can only thank them for that. But God, yeah, I mean, I only knew how to cut hair 10 minutes, £7, in and out, you know, and now it's kind of, I've had to learn from my industry and people that I looked up to in the industry and learned that, you know, actually it's better to do it this way and take your time. And
well,
I think
given that, I mean, I think more and more that kind of 10-minute, you know, those 10-minute haircuts are seen as missing something.
Yeah.
Whereas the kind of more and more places seem to be almost advertising now that it's a 30-minute haircut, 40-minute haircut.
Yeah, because people want more for their money, right?
So that's, yeah. And I think also with the post-COVID, the online booking, you know, ours is all online booking and our barbershops used to be take a seat, grab a paper, grab a cold beer and wait your turn. Now it's booked. People allow that time and don't want to arrive at 10 to 1 and leave at 1 o'clock.
Yeah,
they still want that space and time, and I think it's great to get that. And you can then impart more of yourself.
I think as well, it's about implementing change, and like, you know, we are inundated with chop shops. You know, I won't say which type, but we have got a lot of barbershops trying to undercut each other through price. And I think, well, there are always going to be those clients that want the cheapest haircut because they just frankly quite don't care about their trim. They might think their trim's amazing, but we all know 10-minute trims are not. but I definitely think this day and age, like, barbering has just, it's just absolutely exploded with even just people coming away from their careers wanting to come into barbering. Yeah. So it's like us as an industry, we have a duty of care, I think, to safeguard what the industry means to barbering. It should be nurtured and it should be kept, the standards should be kept so high. And I mean, anyone that goes to a 10-minute chop shop and wants to just earn super tons of cash, that's your prerogative, you know. But if you want to do really good quality barbering and you want to be respected by the industry and your clients, definitely you want to go more towards a shop that cares about their clients and their staff. And that is also with caring that you get a lunch break, caring that you are doing 45, 30-minute trims, you're paying by card and paying your taxes because you're not taking cash under the table. You know, we've all got to do it. And I think that's the way it should be. That's certainly what I implement in my shop. Teaching my team to be respectful barbers, but also respectful citizens. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's so many people ducking and diving now.
Yeah, but I think, again, I think that's dying off. I think, you know, ours is cash. I mean, everything's on a card. This cash has never been, and when it was, you know, we've always been quite legit. And as an employee, all had to be accounted for because people were earning their salaries and, you know, and that's that. But I do think the kind of dodginess is disappearing, you know, throughout.
Oh, it's getting there,
And I think, the amount of people I speak to who are leading, you know, like yourself, leading with a kind of with good intent.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll take us into new worlds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, there's always those people. I don't know why, but it's always on my Facebook. People on Facebook tend to be like, cash is king. Let's hold on to the cat. And I totally agree. We should definitely have a form of styling, you know, like physical money. But you can't help but think, why do you want to hold on to that cash? And we are a country that is hemorrhaging at the moment. You know, we need people to put money into the economy so we can do better, be better. This, you know, is dying on its ass. And that also contributes to the high street dying and the influx of barbershops. And it's ironic to me when you've got people saying, you know, I only take cash.
Yeah.
And you can tell that you're telling me that person that only takes cash is putting all of that through their bank. They definitely aren't.
Yeah.
You know, I would put my life on it. That's absolutely fine. That's the way they want to run their business. But they do not have a right, in my opinion, to complain when there is 50 barbershops in one high street. Because you think, well, if there was money in the economy, there would be money in the councils. People would have money to legislate us, you know, and we would be doing much better on the high streets.
I mean,
I'm a
massive fan of our industry being more regulated.
Yeah.
Anyway, and you know, the Salon Owners Association of, we're pitching for a change in VAT, that every company should be VAT registered and
it would the VAT
should
nice,
be lower. And yeah, really upsetting that it's not. I mean, you do feel we're getting a little bit more represented with those guys, but we're still not being listened to. And I think the more we can legitimize ourselves as an industry, we'll be taken more seriously, and then ultimately everyone will have more protection.
We got to scratch each other's backs. You know, they might listen to us a bit more and look at us a bit more if they saw people paying a bit more VAT and paying a bit more in their taxes. And they know we're one of the last industries that take a ton of cash, and they'd probably look at us and go, I ain't legislating you because you take the mick.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you've got to give some to get some back.
Yeah, no, it's a shame that didn't come through. I think it would have been a big breakthrough for us. And then, ideally, like I say, kind of...
I'd much rather us be legislated than us bring the VAT down. I mean, don't get me wrong, I pay a shit ton in VAT.
Yeah.
And corp tax, and, you know, there's all kinds of taxations. Yeah.
None of us like it.
Hemorrhaging out of my business.
I think we'd all like to keep it, but it's not the way. And again, I think I'm not, you know, I think... I prefer to be squeaky clean. I'm not very good at
it. Helps sleep at night.
I think that's the bit. I like a nice nap. And that's
my accountant, I'll never forget, he said to me when the year we went VAT registered, I mean, and he's a bit London, and he likes a bit of trousers and money. He says, trousers and money, like this. And he said, well, he said, we can sort you out. We can move towards being under the VAT threshold. You'll have to sort of reshape your business structure and all of this. He said, but... Do you want to grow? Do you want to profit? And do you want to get bigger and that? And I said, well, yeah. And he goes, you got to pay the VAT then. You got to pay it now. I'm sorry, there's no way around it. And at that point, I was like, right, okay, what can I do to get us well over that threshold?
I think that's the
then?
Bit. You just got to pitch. You got to pitch further, haven't you?
Yeah. Much further.
No, it'd be interesting if we get anywhere. Like I say, I'm unsure.
Yeah.
It wasn't listened to this time, but let's not get into it. I think the government's getting enough front pages at the moment. Yeah, I don't feel the urge to throw more rocks. So you've got more content coming.
Yes.
And I think it's great. And I think really brave when you sit down and just do that, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it will get more and more coverage. Did you get all positive, or did you end up? Were the trolls stupid enough to jump on that?
No trolls.
No, that's interesting. Were they actually pointed at and called out?
Yeah, I had quite a lot of people inbox me and sort of say fair play, you know. And the worst thing was a lot of women inboxed me going, this has happened to me as well, you know. And I could go on and on and on about the awful treatment I've had. I mean, the worst thing ultimately was. One particular boss I'd seen had been racist to a client. In fact, I'd seen two bosses do that. One was arrested in the shop.
Jeez.
And one, because one of the clients complained about it, walked out and complained. He was arrested.
Unbelievable.
And that was a long time ago. But one of the bosses I worked with, he had quite a lot of online Google reviews where people physically said, I feel that he had racially targeted me. And I think, well, this is a service industry. Someone's paying to be here and be in your personal space in exchange for a haircut. And you've been racially abusive towards this person. Because my shop is in quite a multi-race area. We get people from all over the world that live near us, and it's different. It's quite affluent, and then there is quite a poorer side to where we are. So we get people of all walks of life. So more than ever, you have to be so careful about how you speak to people and how you approach them. And this shop that I used to work in was not far from my shop now. It was the other side of where I am now. But to watch him be, you'll see in my video, to watch him be homophobic to one of the girls on the team. And then one of the other girls, she was pregnant and she only had a couple of weeks left of her apprenticeship. And she said, oh my God, please just don't tell him. I know he's going to fire me. So she already knew that she was going to get sacked because she knew what he was like. Yeah. And then to sort of stand there alongside this person cutting hair and being like that towards the clients as well, I was like, I'm out. I'm gone. No. Like,
I mean, I always call myself a shopkeeper, and I like that phrase because I think as a shopkeeper, we're meant to be kind of part of the community and the community.
People know you.
I'm a Londoner, so yeah. I mean, you know, I've grown up, and you know, I've grown up with multi everything. You know, you know, whether it was, you know, gender, sexuality. It was always irrelevant. Londoners,
but shouldn't
London.
Be a thing.
But
at
as
all.
A shopkeeper, yeah. That's all I've ever done. That's all I've ever seen myself as, just, you know, looking after people and making that experience feel good. It's unbelievable that someone would come in and be abused like that.
The thing that is amazing to me as well is obviously not just the absolute awful treatment, but it's also about how your business head, I would stand there and be like, how do you think this is going to benefit you in your business?
And shooting yourself in the foot completely. No win, no victory, nothing.
I'll always remember I had this boss years ago. It was my last female hairdressing place that I ever worked. And it was a place where I enjoyed the place, but I was like, barbering is for me. That's definitely my path. Okay. And she said something to me that's always stuck with me. And she said, If you do a good haircut, someone will tell 3 people. Mm. If you do a bad, they'll tell 10.
Yeah.
And it's the same with any industry. Doesn't matter if you're cutting hair or what. Like me and my partner went to a restaurant on Saturday. The service was terrible. Terrible. We waited 45 minutes to still not have been served our food. And we said, we're just going to leave.
And
she literally just put the card machine in front for our drinks. And I just thought, well... And I looked at Google and I was thinking, what are the reviews like in here? We didn't check them before. 1 star, 1 star. And I was thinking, God.
No, I mean, the message goes through and it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But your company is obviously doing well with your attitude. and your staff are loving it.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yes, I'm sure.
they've been with me a good few years in different sort of times. But I think as well, like we were saying before about like doing the competitions, doing stage work, things like that. I think that's really good for my team. Mm. I like them to be involved, and a lot of them do shy away from stage. They don't really like, I'm a chatterbox, as you can see. So I don't mind doing stages, but some of them are a little bit frightened. But I think it's important as the business owner, you have to set a precedent. And encourage and I like to think that they're quite happy on the team, but my priority is making sure that they feel happy but also encouraged.
Yeah, I think that's the difference, isn't it? That the phrase kind of being pushed.
Yeah,
you know, it needs to be encouraged rather than physically pushed. You know, there is that level of respect that you need to run through.
Well, it's like, do you want to, what's that phrase they say? Do you want to build or bullshit?
Yeah.
You can stay put if you want. That's absolutely fine. But I'm here to build and I want to get bigger and better. And I need a team behind me that are going to do that. And some of them do shy away a little bit, but I think with a little bit of a push, I can.
I was on stage decades ago on at Salon International, and the assistant that was coming up on stage, we were going to do some hair ups and some stuff.
Oh, nice! Yeah.
And just before we went on, she just went like whiter than I've ever seen anybody.
It's scary.
And she's like, she's not coming out. The absolute refusal. And there was another one that was helping backstage who'd adamantly said, "I'm not going out. I'll help backstage, but I'm not coming out. Not coming out." Anyway, this poor girl just lost her pieces, and she wasn't coming out.
Yeah.
And I just went, "Are you?" And she went, "Yeah, okay." She came out. Helped me, did this thing, came off, and she went, "Oh my God, I can't believe how much I enjoyed this." The kind of whoop whoop that came out
mindset.
Of her afterwards. I'm like, "Oh
mindset.
My God." And she absolutely loved it. So it's hard to get it right that you do need to encourage people in the right way. But there's always an opportunity. Yeah, there does need to be that kind of.
As long as you're not leaving people behind, I'd never obviously leave anyone behind, but there is an element to the further you push yourself, the more successful you're going to get. And obviously, I just want all of my guys to be as successful as they can be. Yeah. And some need a softly approach, and some need a bit of a kick up the arse sometimes. And a lot of the time, they need to give me a kick up the arse as well, because I'm not perfect.
And do you see yours building as premises, more premises, other stores, or diversifying into other things, or?
That is the question.
How do you keep the accountant happy?
he's already very happy. He gets a lot of money out of me.
But which way does it go next, do you think?
I have really toyed with these ideas over the years. There was a point in during COVID, we were looking at a second shop, and it was an old Barclays bank that was getting cut in half, and one side was going to be barbers and one side was going to be like a bakery slash coffee shop. Think Hardgrind, because that's one of my favorite brands. Shout out to Hardgrind. I love their concept, and I everyone knows that knows me knows that I love baking, and I really wanted to get involved in that side of it as well. Because of COVID and that, it all kind of fell through. The owner of the building was trying to get me to pay for his renovations, and I was like, no, it's your building.
Yeah, I'll rent it. Have that mindset sometimes.
Yeah, so again, it's kind of like that thing where people sort of look at me and think, oh, she's a woman, I'll just try and get at her, you know. And I'm there going, no, I'm not paying for this and I'm not doing that. And they think, oh, she's a bit opinionated. And I'm like, well, you know, don't come at me then. No. But I mean, I have toyed with the ideas of more shops. I would love franchise. I'm at the age now, I'm 34, and I don't know, in the next year or two I am hopefully gonna start a family of my own. It's not at my absolute priority, top priority. If the right premises came up now, I would put that first, I think. But I mean, if I was 10 years younger, I would probably have a couple more shops. It's hard, isn't it? It's energy and time and money. And I think from a lazy business point of view, I think if someone wanted to franchise under my brand, then I would be totally up for that if it was the right location. But again, there's so many barbershops now. I have every faith in my brand, and I have every faith that if we were up against another barbershop a few doors down, we would be fine. But I also don't like everyone just opening up for the sake of it. Because there's only so many heads to go around.
I've seen it many times that suddenly barbers and hairdressers will say, and nail bars and so on, will all open up together.
Yeah.
And there's a kind of cycle to it. And you kind of hope that you know, it's always kind of last man standing or last woman standing. You just got to make it through this change in the high street.
Yeah.
Landlords have got to learn their lessons that actually a diverse and interesting high street means a diverse and workable rent.
Yeah.
And new barbers, new people opening up, talk to the existing ones. You know, I don't understand. I've got a shop next to me that's been empty for 8 months, and I see all these people go in and they all come out, and not one of them has been in to talk to me about what the landlord's like, what they're paying, what they're doing. I've opened up four now. We'd like to open up more, but I'm the same. I'm waiting and drawing breath. But I've always gone into the other shops around it, whether they're other barbers or hairdressers. Yeah. Obviously not next door neighbours, but in the vicinity.
Yeah.
And just have a chat, you know, and just see
learn the market.
And see what the market's about. Don't get yourself caught up in it, because it will burn at some point.
Exactly. And I just think, well, I would love to open more, but at the moment I don't fancy the fight.
No.
I get that's just part of business, and you know, it's not personal, it's business kind of thing. But I mean, if I was to open up, there is just such saturation everywhere. I would end up having to open next to some barbershop owner that I either know and I'm friendly with, which I don't want to do. And I feel like, as we said before, I feel like we've got a duty as business owners to, like, we're not legislators. We've got to do the legislating ourselves. Yeah. And I think from a business point of view, sort it. I could open up five more and piss off everybody else. But no, actually, I want to be friendly with fellow barbershop owners. It's tough out there.
We've always opened up away from anybody else. So both of my two barbers that we opened had nothing around. I mean, now we're surrounded by barbers. So finding uncharted ground is a hard one. But it will write itself, I think.
Actually, someone said to me the other day, which was a good concept. I don't know why I never thought of it, but there are a lot of barbershops folding at the moment, and especially ones that are a little bit tired, a bit older. There's like an old boy, for example, in a village not too far from my existing shop. And he's been there 40, 50 years. And he's got three Turkish barbers on the same road, and he's got a British barbers over the road directly in front of him. Which is interesting, because the woman that owns that moans whenever someone else opens up. She opened up directly in front of someone, like two shops facing each other. I think, well, you can't moan now. But this old boy is going to close soon. And one of my girls on the team said, I've got a feeling a Turkish barber's going to go in there. And I was like, fine. But I thought the good thing of that concept of buying existing businesses that are already there, yeah, that's probably the way that we are going to have, yeah, to expand now, because you either pay extortionate rent on these empty properties, or if you buy out an existing barbershop, you know, that's already kitted out for you, yeah. I suppose you could do it up where you want to, but
different, isn't it?
The market's there.
There was a store that came, I've been looking at this store for year after year. It's beautiful, real 1970s, like proper 1970s, original. And this guy obviously loved his shop, always there in a white coat. Place was immaculate, but real 1970s. And I went in about three or four times, said, look, if you're ever giving up, or,
yeah,
you know, shout me, here's my number, call me, and I'd, you know, I'd love to take it on. And then I went past and it had gone.
Oh.
And he had died, and his son didn't know about me, and it was beautiful, this shop. And all I'd have done was given it a little bit more love. And they ripped it apart, and it's like it's like the end of my road, and I keep going past it, and I'm like, no. And this shop, yeah, used to have queues of people. Now it's just blokes just sitting in there with this stupid huge clock on the wall to show how long his 8-hour shift's going to be.
Yeah,
and it's just like, why did you do that? You've taken on a beautiful, beautiful shop. Anyway. Well, whatever you do, I'm sure it will be fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah.
So lovely.
I'm sure we will.
So really lovely to meet you properly.
Yeah, you too.
And please keep your videos.
I will.
Going up.
Yeah.
I think our industry needs policing by itself. And I think there's lots of us shouting
Detective
about the good
Presswell
stuff,
here.
But an element of being told when we're doing things wrong, I think, is vital for every industry.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a brave. It sounds silly, but I feel like it's a brave thing to do, because it can. I was hesitant on posting these videos, and I've been sitting on that information for 10 years.
Wow.
And I've filmed it and deleted it, filmed it, deleted it. And I thought, do you know what am I waiting for? I don't actually care.
No, I love it.
What people think of me anymore. I've just had this epiphany. And I just think, you know, I'll post some lovely, nice things about our industry as well. Don't get me wrong.
As you said, you don't have to go full Karen on everything you do. But no, I think it's vital. It's
about
needed.
Being realistic.
And it is. And good luck with whatever comes next.
Thank you.
And I'll look forward to hopefully talking again when we're further along.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks so
really
much for
lovely
having
for
me.
Coming up. Thank you. Thank you for watching this episode of The Noble Barber. If you liked it, please do like and subscribe. If you've got comments of what we should be doing in future, please give us your questions and we'll try and find an expert to talk to. Or if you're the expert and you want to come on here and help, stay in touch, we'll get you on. Come and join us on the sofa.